Isaiah 53 and verse 11 says, He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Now, before I tell how God reached and saved me, I'd just like to emphasize that those that, like myself, that are on the way to heaven, they can look back in their life and there is a moment, there is a time when the journey toward heaven began. There was a turning point, an event that you can look back to, a very definite experience when a person is saved, when they are born again or converted. We can use all of these words. And in my experience, there's a moment I look back to when I was translated. I was on the broad road going down to destruction, and in a moment, by trusting Christ and Christ alone, I began on a new road, a different path, a path that will lead me to heaven, to be with Christ for all eternity. And so there was a moment. I don't know exactly the time on the clock. It's actually not important. It was around noontime, I believe. And for some time afterwards, I couldn't have told you the date on the calendar. It was my mother that told me the date, because it was in our house at home that I got saved. And it was the 17th of May, I believe, 7th or the 17th. I'll have to check with my mother later. But there's many person that can't tell you the time on the clock. And they can't tell you a date on the calendar. But they look back to an experience. Like our brother Don Hammersmark. He remembers it was up on the coast of one of the islands, and it was winter time because there was snow on the ground. His experience of coming to Christ and trusting in Him. And so, have you had that moment? Can you look back to a moment in your life when you were on the broad and crowded road, and through no effort of your own, but by simply trusting Christ, you were changed, transformed from the inside out, and began on that road to heaven and home. So this is my testimony to God's goodness and His grace toward me. A rebel sinner, I deserve nothing from Him at all. I deserved only His judgment. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, and I had earned my punishment, my wages, because my sins were many. And instead of receiving the judgment of God, I'm here to attest to the grace of God, His kindness toward me in reaching and saving a rebel like me. I was born in Ireland, for those that don't know, and I was 7 years old when my parents and siblings, we emigrated to Canada. We came to a little village called Belgrave, just south of Wingham in Ontario. And we lived on a farm, and it was, as looking back, those were really great days for being a young 7 year old. There was lots to see and do, and there was snakes and leeches and salamanders and muskrats and cows. There was all kinds of things that a young boy could run around the farm and do. My parents and my grandparents on both sides all had a moment in their life when they came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I was brought into an environment, a Christian environment. I was born into a Christian home. My parents were Christians, and everyone around us, all our friends, except for the neighbors, but all the friends that we had any kind of social interaction with at all, they were Christians. And if we were going to do an activity, it was typically with a family out of the assembly or a neighboring assembly. I went to Sunday school. I had to learn my verses. And each Sunday night I was at a gospel meeting. And if there was a tent meeting, special series of gospel meetings in a hall or anywhere around, I was brought to it. And from a very young age, I had a good grasp of the gospel. I could have told the person if they had have asked me, I could have told them about the problem of sin, about the problem of a sin nature within us, that each and every one of us, as are born into this world, are born with a heart that is at enmity with God. I could have told them about the accumulation of their sin and the judgment that that called out for. I could have told them about the cross and the fact that there was an eternal Son, the eternal Son of God who came into the world, to Bethlehem, who grew up and who ended that life of service and devotion to God here on earth at the cross, where he gave himself. And so I was nurtured in the truth of the gospel. If it wasn't gospel meetings, it was ministry meetings. And so that is my background. So privileged and so blessed, like so many of you. Thank God for that. And so there were many times as I was young, you know, from 7 up through probably till, you know, 12 or 13, many times that my heart was stirred in gospel meetings. And as my need as a sinner was brought before me, I had a desire to know Christ, to be forgiven of my sins, and to have the peace that so many of my friends and all those around me had. I knew they were on the way to heaven, and I knew I was not. And my sin bothered me. And the fact that the Lord was coming, and the Lord is coming, and I could miss salvation if I was in my sin. I could be left behind when the Christians were called to be with Christ. That bothered me, as it should, and as that should bother you in the meeting tonight if you're not saved. Christ is coming. At any moment, he could give that shout and catch away to heaven his bride, all those that are saved. And also the fact that life is short, and every now and again, out in the farming community, there'll be a tragedy. A child will, unfortunately, through some farm accident, get injured or even pass away. And there were such occasions. And as a young person, it would speak to your heart that I need to be ready. And you need to be ready tonight. Are you ready? Should the Lord come? Are you ready? Should death cross your path and you be called out into eternity? You need to be ready to die in one's sins, to be left behind for the judgment that will come upon this world after Christ calls his people out of this world is unthinkable. The righteous wrath of God against sin, it's a real thing, and it is to be feared. And tonight you need to be saved. And so those things grip my heart. And I, at many times, I sought through reading tracts and talking to my parents about how do you get saved? How do you believe? And I struggled with those things. When I was 12 years old, I did make a profession of salvation. That is, I thought I had got saved. It was gospel meetings with Brother Larry Steers and John, or Paul Gray, or I can't remember the other man's name. It was gospel meetings in Clinton, and I really was stirred about my sin and my need. And instead of getting to Christ and trusting in him, I had a verse. And I said, well, you know, if I believe with all my heart and all my mind, and I have this verse, that's salvation. And I was focusing on what I was thinking and what I was feeling and my strength of belief. You know, that's not how a person gets saved at all. Who's the Savior? The Savior is the one that gave himself on the cross. And instead of looking away to the cross and realizing that he had done everything for me, I was all worked up and trying to conjure up some great strength of inner belief, and I was trusting in my own efforts to believe. You know, and I fooled myself. I thought, well, I can't believe any harder than that, and that must be salvation. And for a time, I fooled myself. I deceived myself into thinking that I was saved. But you know, there was no reality there because I didn't have Christ. I wasn't resting on him. And it wasn't too long after that, maybe a year or two years had gone by, that the heart that was unchanged, still a rebel against God, it showed itself in all its ugliness. And I remember I began in my early teens to rebel against my parents very, very badly. And there was no doubt in my parents' mind and no doubt in my own mind that I was not saved at all. There was no change within. There was no desire to read. There was no desire to go to meetings. I wanted to be with my friends and doing anything but what was right. And so, unfortunately, from 14 or so, that was my path that I chose. It was my friends, and it was the world, and it was whatever I could get away with. And as I got older, I worked hard. I had a job after school, and I made my money, and I got my own car. And as year went by, I got a little more freedom, a little more independence from mom and dad, until I was doing my own thing. And other than coming to a gospel meeting on Sunday evening, when I was at home, I had very little to do with the Christians or the assembly. Even as dad would read after the meal, it used to irk me. Why do I have to sit here and listen to the reading of the Bible? Why do I have to sit here and listen to these prayers? You know, as dad would pray for the family and for all that needed prayer. What is that? That was the rebel heart within me just showing itself in all its ugliness. I never ever imagined, as I was a young boy of 8, 9, 10, 11, ever imagined that I would be an adult and not saved. But sin is a sneaky thing. And it's a subtle thing. But sin has a power and a grip. And it makes you hard. And sin is a taskmaster. The Bible teaches that. It's like a slave master. And sin will take you places you never ever thought you'd go. It will take you down. And it will take you farther away, day by day. Until I grew up, and I was 21 years of age before I got saved. And I will not tell you the things I've got into, the things that I've done. It's to no profit. But I led a pathway, a prodigal pathway, away from God. And looking back, it was a hard life. I have only regrets from my late teenage years as I rebelled and went farther into sin, farther away from God. Now you think of it. A young boy, so privileged to know the truth, could have told you the gospel and the elements of the gospel, even when I was a rebel. And I remember speaking about religious things with my friends and, you know, university or in bars or whatever. I had a knowledge, and yet I rebelled against it all. You would think that God would have said, well, I have given that boy such privilege and such opportunity, and he said no. He's had his chance. I'm done with him. But you know, the grace of God is such that even after rebelling against God, even after doing things that I knew were wrong, and when I was doing them, I knew they were wrong, and when I was doing them, I knew God could see me, and I did them anyway. Yet, God in his kindness, after many years, began to speak to my heart again. And one of the things that really just spoke to me was the fact that I was 21, and I was not saved. I was in university. I was going to be done. I was making decisions with my education that was setting a course for my life. I had friends and relationships. And I could see if these friendships and relationships are solidified, they are setting a course for the rest of my life. And it just gripped me. How could I be 21 years old, so far away from God, and on a path that will only lead me to destruction, and I know it will only lead me to destruction? I'm going the wrong way, faster and farther than I ever, ever dreamt I would be. And I'm not saved. It was just the passage of time. That was God. That was God, the still small voice of God to my conscience to awaken me. And there was many times, there was many disappointments, and I would go out like I had done many times in Toronto with my friends, my university friends, whether it was bars or pubs or whatever, to try and have a night of fun. And many of those nights I would be coming home empty, you know, and my head would be clear for some reason. And I would start to think about it. What a waste. What a waste of money that was. What a bunch of foolishness that was. What was the point of all that? I remember Mama had packed my small New Testament into my suitcase when I was going off. It was the only Bible I had at university. I remember pulling it out in the middle of the night when I was studying and starting to read. And of course I knew where to read. I knew what passages to go to. Being so blessed, and you know, what are the good gospel chapters of the Bible? And I read them. God was speaking. I wasn't underneath the sound of my father's reading or his praying. I wasn't underneath the sound of the gospel, but God was speaking. You know, God can speak wherever a soul is. Perhaps we give up on people, think they're too far gone, but God can speak in his way. And so that's what was going on in my heart, and it was probably went on for some months, and I didn't really realize that that's what was happening. But I was getting fed up of my sin and fed up of the path I was going, concerned about my future and my end. And unbeknownst to me, back in Clinton, where Mom and Dad were and where I grew up, there was gospel meetings came to town, and Mr. Hull and Mr. John Dennison, Mr. Hull from Nova Scotia and John Dennison, who's now preaches in Arizona and Mexico, were having gospel meetings. And my younger brother, my brother Graham, was spoken to in those meetings, and he got saved. Now, Graham and I, we were, as young brothers, we fought a lot, but as we got into our teenage years, we become better friends. And he and I were on very similar paths. He was back home, but as far as what we did on a weekend, it was very similar. And I remember getting a phone call from Graham, and he told me that he'd just gotten saved. And I remember being happy for him. And I realized then, he's got what I always knew I needed. And he has gotten what I need now. And I just had a week or two left of university. I was in my exams, finishing up. And I purposed in my heart that as soon as I got wrapped up, I was going home for the summer, as I did every summer, to work on the farm. And I wanted salvation. I put it first. You know, maybe you're in a gospel meeting tonight and you've thought about salvation many, many times. If you don't set your heart, I'm going after this. This is it. This is important. I'm going to make it my number one priority. I'm not going to rest. I'm not going to let it pass. You don't need a series of gospel meetings. You need to put it first. And I decided, my life is going down the wrong way. I'm going to go back, and if there's salvation, I would like to get it. And so I did. As soon as university was up, packed up my belongings and went back and settled in to go to the gospel meetings. And I did. Every night, Mr. Hull would give me gospel tracts on the way out, and I was reading the Bible and I was praying at home. I was seeking salvation. One of the things, as I was struggling and trying to believe, one of the things that was tripping over, and really the thing that I was tripping over, is I thought, because of my knowledge of the Bible and because of my knowledge of salvation, that somehow that I was, yeah, maybe a bit of a prodigal, but I was coming home now, and I sort of had an inside track with God, if I could say that reverently. And because of my knowledge and so on, that now that I wanted salvation, it should just sort of work like clockwork, mechanical. And one of the lesson that God had to teach me before I got saved, before he saved me, was this. I didn't have an inside track. And in fact, I wasn't on God's side at all. And that heart of mine was just as rebellious against God as it ever was. And so after some time of reading and praying and seeking salvation, being earnest. I certainly was earnest, and you'll never get saved unless you're earnest. I was trying to be honest with God. I spoke to Him in prayer, bared my heart, and after some time of struggling, I remember on Sunday morning, Mom and Dad were off at meeting. I was alone in the house, and I was reading the tracts again, and I think it might have been only a week. I began to get frustrated. Like, why is God withholding His salvation for me? Here I am, I'm earnest, I'm praying, I'm going to the meetings, I'm doing everything right, and God is not saving me. He's holding out on me. And I remember just it welling up within me, anger against God. Anger against God. And it was like a light that God shone on me. And it was a light that said, this anger that's against God, that is what you really are. And for all your praying, and for all your reading, and for all your going to meetings, you are a rebel sinner against God. And I realized in a moment, that's exactly what I am. I've rebelled against God, and here I am after a week of trying to get saved. Now I'm angry at Him for not saving me. I deserve nothing from the God I have sinned against. I am just a rebel sinner. And if God was to put me in hell, that's exactly where I deserve to be. And you know, in a moment, as that light of clarity from heaven shone on me, exposing my rebel heart against God, I cried out for this. I said, "Oh God, have mercy on my soul." I believe I said it audibly, even though I was in that room. And I have been reading this passage among many. And here is what God revealed to my mind in that second. When I'd given up, when I realized that God owes me nothing, I can only ask Him for His mercy. And I understood from Isaiah 53 and 11 that He, God, shall see of the travail, of the suffering of His soul, of Christ's soul, and shall be satisfied. And God revealed to me through that verse that on Calvary's cross, in the darkness, when no eye could see Christ, in all His suffering, in all His travail of soul, only God could see Him. When He shall see of the travail of Christ's soul, He shall be satisfied. And I realized that what Christ had done at Calvary has satisfied God on account of my sin. God is satisfied with what Christ has done at Calvary. And if God is satisfied with that, well then, why can't I be satisfied? And in a moment, I understood He died for me. I'm going to heaven, and I don't deserve it. I'm going to heaven for one reason and one reason only. The grace of God to me, and the fact that Christ died on Calvary, that my sins might be forgiven. It's as simple as that. That is my story, my moment. It's not a great, big, flashy or elaborate story, but it's mine. On my knees, on the old red shag carpet in my attic bedroom, I seen Christ die for me. And if you could see that tonight and trust Him as your Savior, you'll be saved for time and for eternity.